Let's pray. Father, we just pray for just an anointing to come upon your word today, that it would just sit into our heart and it would stir something in our heart, would stir us to want to walk in that kind of power, want to believe that when we ask for things, and it's not because we can claim them and receive them and be a kind of an indication of our spirituality, but God, when we have needs, we need to believe that you'll meet those needs and that we'll be able to give you the glory for that. And so we're excited about the manifestation gifts or the power gifts that you've given the church. Just like we heard, you are the healer. You are the provider. You are the comforter. You're everything. You are everything. Nothing is impossible with you. And so we give you the glory for that this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and you could follow along here, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Paul starts off here, and probably if you received this letter, you'd probably kind of think, hey, you're a little hard, Paul. Like, you know that when you were pagans, you ever thought of yourself as being a pagan? Paul says to the church in Corinth, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And the world that we live in is led away. We have a lot of counterfeits in our world. We have a lot of things that say, if you'll serve me, if you'll serve wealth, then you'll be happy for the rest of your life. Just watch the little bit. I don't know whether, and maybe some of you have watched The Secret. The Secret is all about you just start to believe, you start to walk in this, you start you. It is not you, it's him. And so don't think that you can materialize something just because you sit down and think about it properly. It doesn't happen that way. At least it doesn't come from the God that we just praised. What you need to do is believe that you can ask him. He will supply that, minister to you through someone or somehow. He'll materialize that, and he will get the glory. None of the people in that movie or that documentary talked about God getting the glory. It was all them. We are not gods. He is God and lives inside of us. We need to give him the glory. So positive thinking, and there's a big craze of all sorts of things that can take you away. Careful, please. Careful of who you serve. Serve him only. As Juan said, G1. As my friend said last night, there's 350 million gods that you can serve. But when you turn to Jesus, you only serve him. You need to only serve him and not receive anything from any of the other gods in this world. So while you were pagans, you got pulled in. You didn't know any better. You're on a spiritual journey because you're spiritual. And so you just need to draw back from all of that stuff. You need to get rid of. You got to purge your house. You might have stuff in there that's religious, stuff that you know, stuff that you just need to get rid of, books that you need to get rid of because they don't glorify God. They don't glorify Jesus. They're not the focus. And so you just need to ask the Holy Spirit to go in and clean it out. That'll keep you busy for a little while, maybe. So it says, therefore, I want you to know that no one who speaks by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, or Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's when you're dealing with demonic entities, that's pretty simple. You just say, well, whoever's talking to you, just say Jesus is Lord. Then you want to hear some language you haven't heard for a while, and it's not King James. And it'll be very loud, and they'll be spitting, and their eyes will turn red, and all that kind of stuff. And it'll scare the spit out of you, honestly. But it doesn't scare the spit out of Jesus who lives in you. And that demon, that entity, has to go. It'll argue with you, and you just tell him to shut up. If you want it, you could shut it up. That's the King James way. But just tell him that he has no right to speak until he's spoken to, and then he must submit to the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be able to walk in that kind of power. We are no longer pagans tossed back and forth by this. We are victors. We are conquerors. We are people who have the resident God sitting inside of us and the power of the Holy Spirit inside our temples. And I believe we're going to see more things like we saw last week from this point on in our church. I'm believing that we will be people who go in power, people who minister everywhere, 24/7, like Jamie said last week. And there's a test for you. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Going on there, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God working. Can you imagine that in all of us? Now, we kind of are like, we're Pentecostals. You know, we're at this level here. Like, you know, and then the people are maybe charismatic or down here. Then there's other people that are just evangelical. No, come on. We are small Pentecostal. The only reason you are Pentecostal is because you recognize that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He didn't form any other kind of church. He formed one church in the book of Acts, it says, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues. Well, you don't... Oh, this is this being taped? My credentials may be hanging here. Don't get hung up on the tongues. Okay? Don't wear it as a badge. I believe everybody should speak in tongues because it's edifying and encouraging in your prayer life and your praise life. And then sometimes God will use you to give a message and that message interpreted. But don't get hung up on that. That's not the one to get hung up on. The one to get hung up on, Paul says, is love. That's the best gift of them all, love. And I'll tell you, when you're walking in love and you're walking in the power of the Spirit, you're going to see awesome, wonderful things happen. And it's not going to be you. It's going to be Him in you. It's the same God that works in all of us. Verse 7 says, Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation. Now, I think of manifesting and I think of demons. And when they manifest, you know they're there. Because they make sure that you know they're there. Manifestation means that you can see it. We need to see God moving. We need to see people healed. We need to see people saved. We need to see people's lives change. We need to see people come out of addiction and walk in wholeness. We need to people come out of depression. We need people to come out of all the bondages that are in this world today. And no, they don't need to worry about what the dollar's doing today because God is your source and the Bank of Canada is not your source. You need to live and walk in that way. Because that's what that says. We need to see a manifesting God through us. And that'll attract people who have needs. You know what they'll do? Is they'll go, hey, I know that guy who can pray. I know that gal who can pray. Or somebody will just come up to you and say, you know what? I've been really suffering for a long time. I told you the story. My son Dan and I were skiing one time, and I took a Wednesday off, and you know what I mean? When you take a Wednesday off and you're a preacher, it's kind of like, well, what did you do that for? That's a work day. So we're out skiing. It was an awesome day. Probably just the other guys on the hill were preachers too because everybody else is working, right? So anyways, we come in and we're going to get something to eat. And there's a gal, and she was down on the, filling the pop cooler like this, you know. And then she says, hey, I'll say one for you when you're down, when I'm down here. Just joking. That's what the world does, right? And I says, that's good, because I'm a preacher, and I believe in that. And then her whole face changed. It's like, whoa, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Now maybe I offended him. And she says, I'll be right up there in a few minutes. And so we got up, and we got our hot chocolate and all that kind of stuff. And so I just said to her, I says, well, we believe in prayer. And she goes, that's good, because I got it. I'm really sick right now. I got a real bad headache. And so we said, it must have looked pretty interesting, because the till was open. We'd just given her some money, and her eyes were closed, and we had her hands on her. Like, so, that was on video. We'd probably be in jail still, because it looked like we're just kind of, you know, diverting her so we could take the money. But we actually, we just, both Dan and I, Dan was like 14 or 15, and we just laid hands on her, and we prayed for her, and then we went off skiing again. That actually justified my being there instead of being in church. I'd worked, and I was taking a loo day. Anyways, we came back in, and we went and got something else to eat, and we got up to the till, and she goes, hey, I'm feeling better. Thank you for praying. And she says, you know, my kids go to a church, and they've been praying for me. See? That's what you got to do. You got to take that. That's an invitation. Hey, I'll say one for you while I'm down here. Awesome. Let me say one for you when I'm up here. Right? Listen, somebody says, you know, I'm going through a lot of trouble in my life. And then you listen to the story. Listen, take a breath and just hold it. Don't get in there and talk before you should. Listen. And then when it's all over, say, hey, you know what? I believe in Christ and I could pray for you. A lot of times I'll sit at a table where there's lots of experts, and they'll be given all sorts of ideas, and I'll go, well, the thing that I do best is pray. Can I do that? That's what I do. I'm a preacher. I pray. And they go, yeah. People, prayer is powerful. We need to do more prayer and believe that those prayers are going to be answered, and we will see the power of God work in people's lives. And these are the manifestation gifts that will come out as a result of that prayer in your lives. It's given for the common good. It's given to you to see. This morning was encouraging, wasn't it? To hear people healed. Yeah. To know that people got saved. To know that people are filled with the Holy Spirit. To know that Jesus is coming back, but he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And we are that church, and we can make an impact in this world before he comes back. That's for the common good. Verse 8, it says, To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. And we're going to talk about these in detail for each one. Another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. By another, faith by the same Spirit. By another, the gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. Awesome. To another, prophecy, and to another, when the distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. All right? All these are. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So you might work in the gift of healing for a while, and then God will change that, and he'll give you a word of wisdom. And it's like you'll hear it inside your head, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And we'll give you the difference there when we talk about these. But God will just put that in, and you may never have ever had that come before. You might have a picture when you're praying for somebody, or God just says, you know, you just need to lay hands on that person now. You just need to pray. If somebody says, you know, I'm not feeling good, don't say, I will pray for you. Pray for them. Okay? And, you know, you'll go, well, you know, but it's in the supermarket, and there's a whole lineup, and we're in the wrong line. It's going too slow. Well, why do you think you're in the wrong line going too slow? Now you got time to pray. Right? Instead of getting upset and go like, well, I should have gone in the other line, you know, because this lady doesn't know her PIN number. What is she out in public if you don't know your PIN number? Right? She doesn't know her PIN number, so you can pray for the person either in front of you, behind you. Then she'll get her PIN number. Don't pray for her PIN number to come. Find out why she doesn't have it. All right? So you might work in all these different gifts. And don't ever think that you're hot in any one of them. Like I'm the healer. Jimmy the healer. That people call me when they're not good. There was one pastor that prayed for a whole bunch of people, and everybody he prayed for died. Would you want him to come and pray for you? Like his scorecard wasn't good. Like some of them didn't even last that long. He just had this death prayer. Like, I don't think he did. I think people were going to die anyway, but he just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. So don't think that God has given you this so that you can put your shingle out and go, hey, look at me. Nobody should look at you, ever. The best sermons that touched my life are from preachers. I don't even remember who they are. But I remember that it's anointed by the Holy Spirit. If you get the opportunity, if God allows you to lay hands on the sick, whether they get healed right then or whether they don't get healed right then, that's none of your concern. Yours is to be obedient. That's it. And if they do get healed, awesome for God. If they don't get healed, that's God too. Because maybe it's not time. I don't know. I mean, we can go through the whole theology, but what I'm telling you is it's not you. It's him. And he wants to use every one of you in this room. Every one of you. Every one of you he wants to use in these areas. So Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 to 5. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Oh, man, we live in a world where that's just so we get hung up on who's doing it. Well, you know, Caruso's preaching here. I don't want to go there. You know, maybe he's got a speaker coming in, and maybe that'd be better. Or I like Caruso, and I don't like the new speaker. I don't like this. Don't like. That's good English. Don't like something. Listen to what God's saying. Listen to him. Come to church because you want to meet with God. Don't come to church because it's the hottest one with worship. It's got the best cookies after fellowship. It's got the best preaching. And don't ever compare me to anybody that you listen to on TV, because I'll never line up. And I don't care, because I'm not called to be on TV. I'm called to be here to be your pastor. I think some of those guys are amazing and they can really minister to you. Don't get hung up on them. Get hung up on Jesus. Don't get hung up on me either. I didn't even get hung up on me. Now, I had to put this picture in here because this is cool. That piece of equipment is probably worth like $15 million. Maybe not that much. Canadian, maybe $15 million. Probably about $8 US then. This is an awesome machine. It runs with a big electric cable into it. Can load it like 100-ton truck or 200-ton truck. You know what, like, you see a lot of half-ton pickups, you know, F-150, half-ton. Oh. Well, a 100-ton truck is what I used to work on in the mine. 100 tons of muck that it'd haul. 100 tons. That's a lot. And in 250 tons, like driving an apartment block around. That's what it is. It's you get up in this little tiny cab, which is actually roomy, and then this thing, they just dump like two or three mouthfuls of that in there. And up the hill you go really slow. And they put weight in there and it breaks, and for a welder, like, awesome, things break. That's awesome. I love things that break. I love really cold weather because metal snaps at cold weather. The people that own the metal, they're not so happy, but I am, because they're actually fairly clean snaps and it's easier to fix. I loved the power. I loved this thing that could just dig like big trenches in one scoop. I love loaders. You know, log loaders, they got these big grapples. I used to go out and I sometimes get to drive these machines when I'm working on them. And there might be an old car or something. At least I thought it was an old car. And it's like you can put the forks through and you can, or like it's just like you could squeeze it down into a little ball and hope that somebody wasn't just out hiking. You can do this outside today. There's going to be a little power because you can have an 8 or 10 pound sledgehammer that you can just beat the tar out of this car. That rhymes. Beat the tar out of the car for $10 a shot. No, I don't know how much it is, but you can. There's power in this. There's power in the lawnmower. There's power in the car. There's power. There's power in these gifts. These are the power gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what Paul said was he didn't come with eloquent speech. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. Paul. I mean, this guy's pretty educated, Paul. He came in fear and trembling, great fear and trembling. My message was my preaching, and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Man alive. It's not wise and persuasive words that speak into a person's heart. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit with those words that the Holy Spirit gives you. It's not using $35 and $40 words to get something across to say, hey, you know what? Look at me. It's not about look at me. It's look at him. And I don't read in the Gospels or in anything that Jesus said any heavy-duty words. I heard him talk about farmers who are sowing seed, fishermen, speaking life into those people's lives. And he did minister. Lots of the Pharisees, lots of the leaders of the law came to know him because of the words that were anointed. Not with persuasive and wise and persuasive words, and Paul says, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's what we need. I remember one of these stories that missionaries came back with that were in an African country. And they went in to set up their ministry and the witch doctor met him and he threw a sword or a spear in the air and it stayed there. That'd be a little intimidating, don't you think? Especially when that witch doctor went and did a chin-up on it. It's in the air. Like, you can go underneath and up and top, and you don't know what's holding there. You know, like the magicians do? So now you're the missionary. What do you do? Well, I think I better go to another country. So while the witch doctor was up there, chinning up, he said, in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I bind that spirit, and they all fell down. That's the kind of service, that's the kind of Jesus we serve. There might be some demonstration of the power, but there's the demonstration of the power. P-O-W-E-R in big, bold letters. It's the power that oversees and overrides every other power. But don't get me wrong. There's some stuff out there that's pretty scary, but don't understand that that is more powerful because we just sang about it. It's the peace inside of you knowing that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's more than a little song that we sing in Sunday school, and it's more than a little scripture that we memorize. Greater is he, Jesus Christ, inside of you, each one of you that believe, than he, the devil, and all his cohorts are in this world. Do you believe that? Like, you got to believe that, and you got to walk in it. You got to walk in that power. You got to walk in that power. And Paul said that. I got to speak not with fancy words to get you here, but I got to see the power, the demonstration of that power of the Holy Spirit, so that your faith, you got to have faith. And it's sometimes pretty tough when you're up against the wall. It just seems like, where are you, God? Did you leave me alone? Are you far away? What's going on? Are you busy with somebody else? I need you to answer me. I need my faith to be able to be seen. I need something that I can hang on to. Because your faith can't hang on human wisdom. Philosophy, great, I love it. It's just interesting to find out how the human mind can think. Academia, I love it. I don't think that way. I love it. I just sit at the table and I drink and I eat from that. It's rich. But it's not human wisdom that builds our faith. It can complement. We have believers that are brilliant people, and God is using them in mighty ways. But it's the anointing. It's the power, the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. It can't rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. It's got to be His power. It's got to be His power inside of us. Can't be your experience. Can't be your pedigree. Can't be your history. Can't be anything like that. It's got to be Him working through you fresh all the time. It's got to be that way. It's got to be Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what He did. He worked in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's what the message says about what Paul said. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want the truth of it. So nothing I could say could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. Can you imagine? Honestly, I still, and I preached a lot, even coming here this morning thinking, I hope I'm hearing from you, God. I really do. I hope I'm hearing for you. I hope that I can encourage the people that are gathered here this morning. I hope that they can see that there's a living God that they can serve and that's with them when they walk out of this building and will do and be part of their lives. If they will just allow Him, they can walk in this new dimension of the spirit realm and believe that this world is not where we live. It's where we are, and we're going to be one day at home with Him. But right now, we have all the power in the world, and actually outside the world, to live this kind of a life. And Paul said, I was unsure how it was. I felt so inadequate. Can you imagine Paul feeling inadequate? And then he said, God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. Man, can I do it? I can do that now. I've been in the church long enough. I can do church without God. I can. I choose seriously not to. But I can, and I know that a lot of other people can. They can do church without God, but you cannot do Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. And we come to meet with Jesus. You are the church. And the reason you're the church is because Christ died for you. So that's why we need to have His power in our lives, not my manipulation or my organization. It's got to be Him. So why do we need these power gifts? Remember the story about the paralytic that was let down? And the four guys brought him and ripped a hole in the roof. And I just love that story because I try to put myself in there, not as the homeowner because he'd have maybe had homeowner's insurance. I don't know. But they laid him down, and the first thing that Jesus said was, your sins are forgiven. And there's a lot of Pharisees there. And they go, oh. They didn't say anything. They just started, oh, he's forgiven sins. He must be God. You know, so that's blasphemy, so we can kill him. That's it. You know, that's a wonderful organization. You don't line up with what we believe, then we'll kill you. come on. And so Jesus, I love Jesus because he doesn't wait for them to say it. He just says, so why are you thinking this way? That's a little awkward, isn't it? Why are you thinking this way? Is it any easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or to get your mat, pick up your mat and walk? And just so that you know that I am not limited to anything because I am God who created the mat, the roof, the house, and everybody standing here, that I can say to this man, pick up your mat and walk. And he did. He said, pick it up, walk. I love that. Because God's concerned about your spirit, your soul, and your body. And then he goes on to say, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, pick up your mat and go home. He never walked home before. He never walked home before. Can you imagine? It was like our sister here, just so excited. Like, it would take him a long time to get home. He wasn't going from A to B. He would go to every neighbor. He would go to everybody. He would go to the running track because he couldn't go to the running track before. He'd maybe try to sign up for the baseball team. He would have done some things. He wouldn't have got home till late that night. I know it. Because God had healed him. So he said he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. I want to hear people say, I've never seen that happen before. I have been sick for a long time, and I haven't felt good, and now I do. I was in bondage, and I was addicted to X or Y or Z, and now I don't have a desire. Awesome. I'll tell you, you don't want to quit anything. You don't want to have a desire anymore in your addiction. It's way different, because if you quit it, you're fighting it all away, and the enemy's right there pounding on your door. But when you become free, and Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free, and he'll set you free from addiction, and you will not desire that anymore. And that's not Jim Caruso. That's what the Word of God says. And then he'll take that desire and put a new desire in your heart, and he'll fulfill that. Because he said this. It's for the glory of God that he's sending us. Because you will receive power. Power. I was going to say, everybody say power, but I hate that. I don't say it. You'll notice that when somebody says, and everybody say power, I won't. I don't know why, it's just a little rebellion inside of me. Because I don't think that, I think that's just kind of like, say power. Hi, everybody say after me. Anyways, that's just me. You will receive power. You need to speak power out from yourself without being encouraged to do that by somebody standing up here. You have the power. Can you imagine? Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power. Dunamis. Boom. That's what it is. That's the Greek for it. Boom. You can tell my doctorate's not in the Greek and Hebrew. But that's what it is. And that's another thing at the mine. They would have guys that would drill holes, and they would fill them full of powder. They use fertilizer now and diesel fuel. And then we'd stand back, like a way, way back, because the rocks would be flying. And then this one guy would go, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom. And that hillside would never look the same again. Just blow it right out. It was so awesome. Power. Power. You have that dunamis. You have that power inside of you. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, you have that power. You have that power. If you will just let it release, that's what you need to do. You need to turn the tap on. The power is pushing against the valve, and you are the one in control of the valve. Open it up, let it go. What's that?
You said guys like power, girls like
girl power. Superwoman. Yeah, they got Superwoman too. Really, he's no, it's not gender specific. It's across the board. It is power in each one of us, every one of us. Please understand, he wants you to walk in power. Now, you don't have to be flaky about it, like put a little cape on and, you know, fly around and I have the power. You know what? You just need to have the power. Well, actually, you have the power. You just need to release it. I don't know. So open the door, turn on the tap, whatever you got to do. Just let it flow. Let it flow. Let him do what he can bring glory to his name with. And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, that's an interesting term. That means martyr. You're going to be my martyrs. You're going to lay your life down. We don't lay our lives down so much here in North America, but you need to start laying your life down from the old ways, the old pagan ways Paul was talking about. Lay them down. Lay that down. That old Caruso, Jim Caruso, is dead. He's been buried for like 40 years. But I dig him up every once in a while. He's a real nice creature, I tell you, after 40 years in the pit. Nice guy to hang around with. Smelly, stinky, a lot thinner. I mean, just who wants to dig up an old corpse? We don't need to because we're alive in Christ. The old man is dead. Leave him dead. Leave her dead. And walk in this power, this anointing of God in your life. He said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and it'll give you life. And this world needs your life through Jesus Christ. So you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, which is Richmond, in Judea, which is BC, in Samaria, which is Canada, and the uttermost parts of the world. And that's where we go. That's where we're from. Isn't that great? That's where we're from, and we're going to go back, and we're going to have people come here from all over the world, and we're going to touch them with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not gathering here in this sanctuary and having a great time of eating together, which I really like. We do that. It's like a menu here sometimes instead of announcements. I like that, and fellowship's good. But this is the purpose where we gather. I believe that you come here Sunday morning to receive something from him and to minister and be ministered to. And then you can go out into your week wherever he guides and leads you, and you'll walk in that power. So, it's for the glory of God. So in John 11, talks about Lazarus being dead for 4 days. That's a tough one. So you're the preacher and somebody's been dead for 4 days. They say, hey, come and raise him from the dead. God had such a relationship. Jesus had such a relationship with the Father, he knew that that was possible. And I was just thinking about that, when we're singing. He went, he was practicing, I think. He went and rolled the stone away. He just said, roll the stone away, because, you know, he's going to roll the stone away from his own grave pretty soon. So maybe he was just kind of doing a dress rehearsal. Lazarus was in there. The stone was closed. He said to the guys, roll it away, because you know what? One day, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again, and the stone's going to be rolled away, and the tomb's going to be open, and nothing in this world, nothing above, nothing below, nothing around this world, nothing will have the power over me, because I overcame death to the resurrection. So I kind of looked at that this morning, and I thought, yeah, he just had him roll that stone away, because that's coming. But he said this. He said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. Isn't that, I love it. My brother, Jacob, he talks like that. He says, Father, is he gone already? I still like him, even if he's gone. He says, Father, what do you want me to do? Father, I thank you, you heard me. Do you have that kind of relationship with God? Like, Father, what do you want me to do? Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. Jesus is saying these words because they're true for you as well. He always hears you. But I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Paul's words again. I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. The team come back up. And it's all about the power of God. It's all about Him. It's all for the glory of God. It's never to build the kingdom of a preacher, of a denomination. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever is it to be that way. It's always to glorify Him, to lift His name up. And when we have people that are healed, people that are excited about what God did in their lives, we have people that need a touch of God in their lives. They need it physically, they need it emotionally, and they need it spiritually. And when God is allowed to do that and He is allowed to use you, you get to be, you're allowed to be right beside God working in that person's life. What amazing thing. Some of you might say, well, but I'm not there. I'm not at that level. Yes, you are. If you're born again, if you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Father, and you have Jesus. You have everything you need to touch people's lives. You have it all.